Good morning, Salem, and how are you? Thank you all for allowing me to sit down. I have got some issues going on here, but God is still good. Amen? And just happy to be here. Let me pray first. Father, we are grateful just for the stillness of 30 seconds just to usher in, to share your word, and Lord, to bring glory to your name. Father, to offer hope and comfort to those who may be hurting, to edify and encourage those who have already said yes to your matchless love. Just thankful for the opportunity to talk about you, Lord, and to take a scumbag like me and tell me to go share the gospel. I don't get that, but Lord, I want to be obedient and to share the things that you have given me. And we just want to say that we know for sure that the only hope we have in this world lies in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask now that your spirit fall fresh on this church. And Lord, it may be a time that we can all be intimate and just kind of lean in. I love what Brandon, Pastor Brandon says, just lean in a little bit and all of us touch and agree and be on one accord that you are our Lord and our Savior. We thank you and we love you. It's in your Son's name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I tell you, it's kind of hard to come behind my wife. I tell you, she's something special, and what it's like to have your own songbird at home, you know what I mean? That's pretty special. And I want to thank Pastor Rick for an opportunity to share. What can I say about Pastor Rick? He is a person that I can tell you he's been devoted. He's been truly Christ-centered. In my midst, he's been an encouragement to me. One of the things I've learned is that I have pastors that are pastors to me that are not my pastor in my congregation. He is one that I gleaned from and that I look up to. And, you know, the thing that brought us together, you know, of course, was the killing of Mike Brown, but it goes so much deeper than that. It's the love of Jesus Christ that brings us together. Amen? But so anyway, I want to share this morning, as we frame our work, it's going to be a different type of preaching. It's not going to be line upon line, precept upon precept. It's really just a topical message that I think that all of us can glean from and learn from, and all of us in one way, shape, or form are dealing with this particular subject, and we'll get to that. But let's frame our work this morning. Our scripture is going to come from John 16:33. Very familiar passage of scripture. All of us pretty much know it, and it reads as such. I'm reading from the NIV. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. And that word trouble is huge, because if you don't have trouble now, just wait and just hold on. It's coming. It's not a gloom and doom. It's just a fact of life. You will have trouble. But he says, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. That is the thrust. That is the overarching thrust of this morning, that I want you to remember when you walk out of here today. Yeah, trouble's coming. Take heart. But our God has overcome the world. Amen? When I say amen, you got to say amen. Amen? Amen. All right now. And there's some other backup scriptures that I want to use. Those of you who are taking notes, one is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And that's what we're going to be talking about, those three things. And also 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the fourth verse, it says, Satan, and a lot of people don't even know this passage of Scripture, and I don't have time to unpack it all. You got elders and you have a pastor, and if you want to go back and get a better understanding of what this particular Scripture is talking about and how does it match up with what I'm talking about on this morning, it says, Satan, who is the god of this world, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, prince of darkness, whatever you choose to call him, is the god of this world. He has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Remember, there will be trouble, but God has overcome the world. And Salem, this is something that I've learned that I believe a lot of believers who've already said yes to God's matchless love, who still struggle with being deceived, still struggle with being blinded by Satan. You know he's a deceiver. He deceives, he uses deception, he uses fear, and he uses division. That's how he operates. When we look at this world, that's how this I'm going to call him brother. This is how this brother rolls. I'm going to use some of my little ebonics today. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. But remember, God has overcome the world. And let's look at Ephesians 6 and 12, another familiar passage of Scripture. Keep these in mind as we walk through this, and I will do my best to be done in 30 minutes. Ephesians 6, 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's what we wrestle against. We have a god of this world, a system, a cosmos, an attitude, an ideal that is pushing and pressing upon us to believe his way and to keep us severed and to keep us cut off from that lifeline who is Jesus Christ. As of 2023, I was trying to come up with an acronym. I never really let my wife into my sermons, but I was like, I'm trying to find an acronym. That's how I preach. That's how I see things. I'm very demonstrative. If I can see it and I can keep up with it, that's how I understand things. And so we were just talking. I'm in my office at home, and she's in the family room going back and forth. And I said, for technology, I need an acronym. Now about 20 minutes later, she says, FIT. I said, FIT? What do you mean, FIT? She said, FIT. That's it, FIT. I said, okay, what's it stand for? She said, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. I said, FIT. And she said, FIT is giving us a fit. And I said, you're right. So the title of this message is FIT is giving us a fit. It's just driving us bonkers. FIT is giving us a fit. And when I say FIT, I'm talking about everything, CNN on down to podcasts, any platform that reaches us, magazines, television, cell phones, laptops, desktops, the list goes on and on. Anything that can speak to our psyche is in FIT. So it's just not cell phones. It's everything. FIT is driving us fit. And let me say this before I beat up on FIT this morning and give you all a better understanding of what FIT is doing to us. Technology, if used correctly, could be a wonderful thing. Absolutely wonderful. I've been through a lot of health problems. I've been through things, you know, when I had surgery and had my prostate taken out, you know, I'm laying on the table. Of course, I'm out, but my doctor's over there by the door somewhere on a computer, you know, driving this little robot doing surgery, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. And all the tests and all the things you go through when these different things go on, it's a beautiful thing. We know that informational-wise, when we went through COVID-19, what a beautiful thing it was to be able to be on YouTube or Facebook and connect and still try to reach and love on people through technology. So it has its good, wonderful things. Every Tuesday morning, you know, I get to pray with the pastors at early in the morning, at 7:30 in the morning, and up on Zoom, So it's a beautiful thing. It has its places, but it also has a lot of evil involved in it. So I have 3 points. Well, the first point is going to be crawl, the flesh crawls. Second point will be crave, the lust of the eye. We see what we want, we crave it. And then the last one is going to be conquer, the pride of life. We want to conquer. We want to be on top of the hill. We want to be known as the man. Remember, there will be trouble, but God says he has overcome the world. So what I want to do is give you snapshots of each point. If you want to talk later, we can. If you want to give me a call, I simply just cannot unpack it all. Remember that Satan is the god of this age, and we know the ultimate sin that happened in the garden. It was the lust of the eye, and Eve looked at that tree and saw it was good for food. And through this world system, which is a Satan, he operates through this deception. He operates through deceiving and fear, which we've already talked about. And he takes things and he perverts it. Fit is giving us a fit. And let's look at this definition of perverted. And I'll keep it rated G, mom and dad and grandmother, don't worry. But we're all grown. And one of the things, I've preached this sermon before. And one of the things I let the saints know, if the people of God do not share this information, who's going to share it with us? Who? Fit. Go. Move to the head of the class, young lady. But amen. And that's the key here. If we don't have a spiritual, biblical worldview, where are we getting that information from? Fit. The only way he speaks to us now. Fit. Garbage in. Garbage in. Garbage in. Amen. Simple as that. And what he is spewing, the system, Satan, is garbage. It's garbage. Are there good things? Yes. Cooking shows, which I love. I love. I think I'm a chef. I love gardening. I love to garden. I'm a fisherman. I love to fish. Yeah, there's good things. But 99.9% of the time, he is spewing garbage. Let's get the definition of perverted. A person, action, characteristics about sexual abandonment and unacceptable practices or tendencies. Of the things have been corrupted or distorted from its original course. Original course. Original course that God has set up for us, right? He's changed it. To cause, to turn aside away from what is good and true and morally right. To turn it away. What's good is bad. What bad is good. Amen? I'll give you a short grocery list. When it comes to the flesh, and we talk about sexual emotions, it causes the flesh to crawl. That's our first point. We know there's one man, one woman that's married. There in the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. And what Fit has done to this, he's taken this beautiful thing of intimacy and lovemaking, and he's perverted it. Again, don't worry, I'll keep it rated G. Because if I don't tell you, who's going to tell you? Fit. Right? The issue here is that men and women have been truly blinded to what God expects from us and how to govern ourselves when it comes to sexual things. Right? There are some of my older saints here this morning, or those who may be listening and watching, just saying, I don't have no problem with that. I don't watch TV. I don't have a television. I don't have a laptop. I don't have a cell phone. I still have a flip phone, and I don't even know how to use that. Right? It doesn't bother me. But the thing is, you're connected to someone. You have a son, a daughter, a husband, a niece, a nephew, or somebody that you love is being affected by fit. You know, when back in the 80s when I worked for the Webster Groves School District, one of our teachers, she says, I don't have a radio or television in my house. But she was reading all the time. What was she reading? And I'm not knocking her, but I'm just saying fits everywhere. He's around the corner when you go around. He's always in your psyche. He's always trying to get in your mind, and he's always trying to push you away from that wonderful relationship of Jesus Christ. Amen? Fit causes, well, I already talked about grandchildren. It causes covetousness. You desire, because your flesh is crawling, I don't want my wife anymore. I want my neighbor's wife. And to my youth, I do want to say this, and I always have a small segment in sermons where I talk to the young people. Everybody in here, I'm 62 years old. Anybody my age or older knows that we've all been 15 or 16 or 17 or 18, 19, 20 years old. All of us have been there. We've all experienced what it feels like to have your hormones jumping all over the place. And we know that fit is giving you a fit about what to do with your body. We know that because the flesh is crawling. It is a struggle. There are people who struggle with sexual identity. We are living in that time. Well, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It's just more and more of that. We don't know what restroom to go into. We look up and people are saying it's okay for two men to be married and it's okay for two women to be married and so on and so forth. And Satan has perverted this beautiful thing called the rainbow and he's changed it into something different. And I want to say this and I want to make myself very, very clear. If you are in a situation where you're struggling with your sexual identity, and I mean, I don't care what you're going through, I want you to know that God loves you more than you can imagine. Do you hear me? I mean, he loves you. He wants to lavish his love upon you. He desires, whosoever will let him come. He is standing with his arms open. He says, come unto me. He loves you. And one of the biggest problems Christians have is that we have not learned how to minister to that group of people. Some churches do better. I know that most places I go, we know how to deal with adultery. We can witness to people and love them. We know how to deal with alcoholics. We know how to deal with all sorts of things. But when people are struggling with sexual identity, we simply don't know how to minister to them. And I want you to know that God loves you. And I'm going to tell you one other secret, and this one's for free. Everybody in this room this morning, this church, has secret sin in their life. Everyone has something in their life that no one knows but you and God. We can't judge anybody else. For me to think that I know this beautiful woman after 18 years, I know everything about her, is not true. Do I love her? Yes. Do I trust her? Yes. But there's some things between her and the Lord. And that's just the bottom line. Amen? And those of you who don't have any secret sin, come see me later on and please tell me how you're doing that. Okay? He just loves you. I can't even say that more. There's so many people in those situations where their flesh is crawling, and they don't know what to do with it, and the church just hasn't done a good job. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He just loves you. And people, I know that these things are at our fingertip. We can be exposed to what fit has for us. We cannot escape it. It saturates our mind and our hearts 24/7. But stay focused, saints. Stay focused because God has overcome the world. Let's go to point number two. Crave. Amen. She looked at the garden. She's in the garden. And Eve looked at the tree and she saw it was pleasant to her eyes. Another grocery list for all of us. Our hearts are such idle making machines. We We pump out stuff every single day that is against God. It just pumps out. It just pumps out. We may not say it. We may not act upon it, but it's in our psyche. All day long. We are craving things. Our flesh crawls and we crave. They are interwoven. So as we're connected and we're married to these cell phones and these devices, I've noticed, other people have noticed, you see commercials, you see videos, people are walking, bumping into things because their head is down looking at their phones. We're looking at Facebook to see how many likes we have. We're on TikTok saying, I can make a better video than that. There's so many image problems. I want long hair. I want short hair. Ladies, my heart goes out to you all. The world's telling you how to look, how to walk, how to talk. Men too, but women, you guys are getting pounded. From the time you get up in the morning, Satan is like this with his arrow. Pew, pew, shooting arrow, just shooting at you all day long. I need extensions. I want curls. No, I want highlights. Can I wear those stilettos like her? I want to have perfect teeth. Fit is causing you to crave all these things. I want to be Taylor Swift. I want Harry Styles, Billie English, and I want to be beautiful like Halle Berry and Beyonce. And my wife thinks that Denzel Washington is so handsome, and Tom Cruise and Tom Brady. And I want a trophy wife. This fit is giving us a fit. We just crave. I want a 5-bedroom house. I want a white picket fence. And then the list goes on and on. I want a swim pool. I want a muscle car. I want a luxury car. I want a Camaro, a Mustang, a Porsche. I want all these things. And we crave and we crave and we crave. I do want you to know that we are real people with real problems that need a real God. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with desiring nice things. Nothing. I mean, I wanted a nice house. The Lord blessed me with a nice house. I wanted a beautiful wife. He blessed me with a beautiful wife. You know, I wanted one nice car in the house. He blessed me with a nice car. I wanted $2 or $3 in the bank. He allowed that. This society, this system, this pressure of the evil one causes us, even when you get to a point, is what is enough? When do you get to a point where you say enough is enough? I have a confession to make this morning that fit had me for a while. It really had me. And I'm still struggling with fit. I love my cell phone. I love my laptop. I'm a news addict. I'm always trying to see what Satan's up to so I can warn you all. That's how I'm wired, you know? And I'm trying to see how they're manipulating and operating so I can tell them about the guard against fit. And of course, his name's Jesus, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we get down the line. But I've been struggling. Like most people, we pretty much can't live without some type of technical something. You really can't survive or live well because they have pushed us into a corner where you have to depend upon technology to do things. You know what's getting bad when one goes to church and forgets his Bible and he keeps driving. One is going to church, he forgets that cell phone, he turns around to go get that cell phone. Then they claim, well, I'm doing the Bible on my cell phone. No, you're going to get that device that you crave for, that you crawl for, that device that we hunger for. And for a while, I was getting up in the morning, waking up, thank you, Lord, right on that phone. No, not more. at least wait till I get down the hallway. And that's only because of checking emails and things that we've been pressed into. Amen. If it has jammed us up and it's jelly tight, and you go to the coffee shops, heads are down. You go to the mall, heads are down. People in their cars, heads are down while they're driving. At the stoplights, heads are down. In the grocery store, their heads are down. You go to a restaurant, their heads are down. Families don't even talk anymore. I have another confession. Me and my wife can have a date night. We got a great movie on screen, and we got the fireplace going, and we got a chips and dip, and we're having great conversation. And I'll say, hold on, baby, let me finish this text. Fit got us to give 2 hours to my wife without this device. 2 hours. 2 hours of just set it down. Is God so bad that even the people of God in meetings, phone rings, I got to get this, up out of their chair and out the room. I've done it before, so I'm not pointing fingers. But what has happened to us? I mean, I was born in 1960. We had one phone in the house, Woodland 17241. I remember the number. Anybody know anything about Woodlands and all that? Anybody can remember those days? Amen. What do we do? We went to a ball game at Busch Stadium. I meet you at gate 6 at 6 o'clock. You did that at home, no more contact. People were there at 6 o'clock. Now it's like, where you at now? What color pants you got on? I mean, it's like, it's maddening. I do it. But Fit has got us jammed up, and he's got us jelly tight. Fit is so strong that it's even attacking billion-dollar corporations. You know, I'm a big sports guy. You know, I play sports, and I've been inducted into the Hall of Fame in Webster Groves in high school and all this stuff, and it's fun. I did some broadcasting on the radio for sports, basketball and football. I do trivia games every day on Facebook. I love sports. I'm a sports guy, you know. But you know what they have done now? That the athletes are so marketable, and they make so much money in labels of advertisement of Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. That now, as they are working out, it's not a water break. They get a phone break. Look it up for yourself. Grown men and women making millions of dollars that the coaches and staffs discovered that these phones are such a distraction that they have to have a phone break. A phone break. A phone break. I can't get over it. It's gotten that bad. And that's that craving, attention, that power that they have, and the owners are willing to put up with anything. The craving, even a movie, when you watch a movie, I didn't know how to use this one because, you know, I watch black movies and white movies. I don't know what kind of movies you all. Anybody here ever seen Waiting to Exhale? Anybody? Nope, not one? One, well, okay, I'll try to use another one. The one I want to use, it's a white movie, but I can't remember the name of it. But let me try to give you a snapshot to show you what Fit is doing to us, even when we watch a program or watch a movie. There was a man and a woman, they were married, and this man was trying to give a surprise party. Some of you might know what the movie is. You can call it out. It's a little older. He was trying to give a surprise party for his wife, and he was going to this banquet hall, and there was a big plate glass window in the front in big steps, and his wife was driving by, and he seen his wife walking up the steps with this lady and woman, and she was all concerned about it, and of course, he didn't say nothing to her. Then the next thing, she finds a bunch of receipts in his clothes for flowers. So He's having an affair. And so I think a week or two went by. She drove by there again and saw the same woman going up the steps with her husband. And she's all done, Will. You're going to have an affair? I'm going to have one too. And so while I'm in this movie, I'm rooting for her. I'm like, he did it, you do it. I'm a Christian, a Bible preaching Christian. And I'm just caught up in this movie and fit has me going. And how could you do it like that? And then he invited her out one night and they went to this place, same place, this banquet room, went up the same steps, opened up the door and everybody goes, surprise, a huge party for her. And she turns and looks at him and goes, you're not having an affair on me with this woman. This is my coordinator. She is the one to help me put all this together. I've been working on it for weeks. She's the one to help me get all the flowers together. Honey, I would never step out on you. I love you. You mean to tell me I had an affair and you didn't have? I mean, it was really intense. And the point I'm trying to make is I was rooting for sin in this movie. Fit had gotten me so caught up. And there are many, many, many things like that, especially when it comes to kids that are being mistreated. And the dad goes, no, you're not going to touch my daughter. And he goes and he does something. I said, yep, that's what you deserve. But God says no. God says no, Salem. And so fit causes us to crave things. We get caught up in these movies. And some of you may not watch movies. But just watch what Satan does. The next time you watch a good movie and then you go and you kind of go back and you replay it in your mind and you process it all and you go like, I was rooting for that guy to get away with that money. You know, one heist movie, I was like, man, you almost had it. All you had to do was keep your mouth shut and you'd have had $50 million or something crazy. And but that's how subtle Satan is. That's how he draws us in and he literally sucks the life out of us, and he has us looking and viewing the world the way he does. Amen. And then we'll remember what? Take heart. Take heart. There's going to be trouble, and there is trouble, but God has overcome the world. And let's look at conquer. We're talking about pride, the pride of life. The tree was to be desired. To give one wisdom. Let's look at the definition of pride. Too high an opinion of one's own ability or worth, responsible of judgeable sense of one's worth, a sense of pleasure that comes from some act of possession. And we see in Proverbs 16, again, for those who are taking notes, verse 5, the Lord detests all proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. And that's another thing. What a man soweth, that should he also reap. We think we're getting away with something with this pride. I used to be so prideful. And once in a while, I still kind of huff my chest up, and I get humbled so quick by the Lord because I've learned my lesson about being prideful because the Lord was allowing me to be a part of so many wonderful things. Athletically, and then in different ministries I've been a part of, there's been some times that I've walked around as if I was responsible for it. The flesh always wants to claim wisdom without God. Always. Pride always wants to claim that they're in control. There are people who have, in this room probably, are watching, that have more degrees behind their name than a thermometer. And they're rich and they're proud and they have yachts and mansions and Bentleys and Rolls Royces, we talked about that, and motorcycles. And they have harems of women. That's another thing that fit is doing to us. That it's okay to have multiple women. It's okay to have a woman in New York and one in L.A. It's okay to have one in Chicago and one in Atlanta. Because I'm rich and I'm proud and I'm full of wisdom. Just look at me. Fit is giving us a fit. You know, one of the things I'm also paying attention to watching Fit is our world leaders all over the world. We're talking about presidents and queens and kings and all. They are the most braggadocious people in the world. They are so prideful. And I know you have your favorites, and it's okay, but just pay attention and listen to them. My administration achieved more than any administration since 1950. Not just the United States does it, but all of them. Oh, when I say all, I mean most. Amen? This prideful position of wanting to conquer and rule over everybody. You know, now the new thing is cussing. Cursing, whatever you choose. Is that we have government leaders cursing. Constantly. So you have a generation of young people who are here and here and here and here. And they're like, yeah, that's normal. That's the same thing with the sexual identity thing. You hear, and all you hear until you get 20, it's okay to be with a man if you're a man. They are not able, without a biblical worldview, to be able to say that God is against that. So now they're cussing. Everybody is cussing. I mean, from the police chief to the mayor to the president to the senators, congressmen, they all cussing. My favorite radio station, talk radio station, KMOX. And now they're cussing on KMOX. And I'm just like, really? ESPN, you know, once a day I like my little half an hour ESPN, they cussing. They just on top. They want to be in control. They want to be seen. They want to be able to conquer. And guess what, saints? Even in some churches, folks are cursing. Yeah, let that sink in. Let that sink in. When we take a better look at FIT and look at the main outlets of communication in this world, when we look at FIT, what is the number one source that they actually use to communicate to us? Say it again. Our minds, yes. But I mean to communicate. How do they let us know what they're thinking? It's in the FIT bucket, but it's one main one that they use. Television, of course. Twitter. Tweet. Such and such tweeted this. Such and such tweeted last night, today, tomorrow. Everybody's on Twitter. Every major person that has influence and has a platform to change your mind and my mind is a tweet. That tool can be used as a good thing, but also a bad thing. A government doesn't even have to speak to us anymore. It's absolutely destroyed us. There's no need for intimacy no more. There's no need for relationships anymore because I can talk to you through FIT. And I believe it's killing the church, absolutely destroying the church. You can hide behind that machine and become anybody that you want to be. And I never really have to look at my wife and tell her I'm sorry. I can tweet her and say, baby, I'm sorry. It don't work. That don't fly with me. My kids who I love, who are now grown, who know better and been taught better, text me, happy birthday, Dad. I'd be crying. I'd be like, no, that's not what we do. I mean, everybody's different. When my parents were alive, there wasn't a birthday, there wasn't a Mother's Day or Father's Day that they did not see the whites of my eyes. I was there to love them. Don't tweet, don't text me, don't email me, I love you, happy birthday. It doesn't count. Now, there's some situations. You're out of the country, or you in California, and it's certain things that can take place that can happen. But for me, I value what God has given us. I value the body of Christ. I value this morning. I value looking at you all. I value Heather coming up saying, let me formally this morning say hello to you. And she's just a fun lady. She's like a little firecracker. I value that. I don't know, saints, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What we have is a lot of glorified motivational speakers that call themselves preachers. They're in every platform, media platform, and they're everywhere. And they talk a lot about health, and they talk about wealth, and they talk about prosperity. They talk about naming and claiming and believe it and receive it. And they're giving our young people a fit. The pride for men and women in this world goes back to what Frank Sinatra said. He did it his way. And a lot of people are trying to do the same without Christ. They shout to the top of their lungs with all this pride, "He who dies with the most toys wins." And that's the kind of world we're living in today. So as the gentleman who just left here, we talk about how do we counterpunch? How do we fight back against fit? How do we put ourselves in a place that we can be safe? How do we do that? We see that fighting back is, we see that we, I'll give you one thing. Will we give the keys to a car to a 10-year-old to go up on 270 in rush hour and let him drive? Will we do that? No. So why will we give the keys to social media and just let him drive? We're going to let Satan just run us and rule us constantly. And the way I fight back, again, with fit is I flood it with scriptures. I flood it with good times. I flood it with pictures of family and fun. You know, I flood it with sports things. I flood it because if you don't, that's what they're going to do to us. And it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Those platforms are there. He will continue to indoctrinate our families and saturate us and cause us to be separated. That counterpunch is so incredibly important. Let me encourage you in this life, because we know the goal is for us to be hot. We use that word a lot in men's ministry, honest, open, and transparent. God wants you to be that way. He wants you to be fat also, F-A-T, faithful, available, and teachable. How we counterpunch? We come. We be faithful with coming and hearing the word of God, make ourselves available, and make sure you keep yourself in a position where you can be teachable. He desires to keep us from the Lord. And I know Pastor Rick and the leadership has put in place to protect you and to help you and to give you the knowledge of the things that you need. Pastor has given you a vision in his church. It has values. It has transformed culture. It has a heart of diversity, and he and I work with that. It has an outreach focus. It has a small group here at Salem. I love the small group because there's safety in a multitude of wise counsel. As we're fighting through this thing of fit, of being attacked constantly by Satan, how do we counterpunch? We come together, and we talk, and we share, and we pray, and we encourage one another. Safety in a multitude of wise counsel. Safety when one is talking about, my wife is telling me such and such is depressed, such and such read on the internet that she should get her ears pierced and get more piercing, and such is starting to poke herself in the arms or cut herself because she's depressed. We come together as believers and help these people. Sunday morning study, there's Sunday afternoon studies, there's Thursday evening. Saints, I believe in my heart that God never intended for us to be an island. God never intended us for to do this thing alone on this Christian journey. God wants us to do it together. And as he continues to shoot these fiery darts, Satan, God made it clear. He made it very clear there will be trouble. He will be trouble. take heart, for he has overcome the world. He's overcome the world. He has overcome the world. And as we close, folks, if I didn't have enough scriptures for you, I am sorry. This is a topical message. I gave you four scriptures on the top. I'm not making any excuse. But if you were following, all you can see is Satan attacking us. And you see the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's it. If there's anyone here that's struggling with wanting to know who Christ is, I know there's always three types of people in the audience. There's those who've already said yes to God's matchless love. Then there's another group that's kind of peeking in and trying to see what this Jesus is all about. And then there's a third group that's, straddling the fence, just not really sure. But he wrote us a beautiful love story. It's in Scripture. A beautiful, beautiful love story about how much he loves us. And God loved us so much that he gave us a son. And I don't know you heard it all. But the gospel is so simple. It's so simple. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he is the Lord, that he died and was buried and rose on the third day for your sin, and he sits at the right hand of the Father as we speak, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And that's the gospel message. And you can have that today. You can have it today. I can't save you. Pastor Rick can't save you. My wife can't save you. Only Christ can save you. But I pray as you hear the gospel and as you go forth on today, the main thing I wanted you to remember when you walk out of here, out of all the stuff that's going on in this world with COVID and racism and all the garbage that is flooding our minds through fit, that he already warned us that trouble was coming. Take heart, for he has overcome the world. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercies. And Father, we thank you for your word.